Fire. No, what the Bechalavis Nafshcha, Tizbach, you will sacrifice, you will slaughter. V'yachalta v'asar, you'll eat basar, ki v'irkas, Hashem lokech, asher nosan l'cha, v'chol sherech, ha-tameh v'atah yachlenu, the tameh and the tahar will eat it, katzvi v'chayol, like a deer, and like in ayol is, do not confuse the word ayol with the word ayil. An ayol is a wild animal. Where do we find how the word ayil? By Avraham Avinu, by Yisa Eino Vayar, Vihine Ayil, Ayil, Aleph Yud Lamed, but there's a dot, a chirik under the Yud. Ayil, Vihine Ayil, Achar.
Another example of changing.
A letter.
Oh.
Right, another example over here, I don't know, there's the Ayol. Ayol is a wild animal, it's a chayah. And Ayil.
He defines it as a heart.
A heart. And a tzvi is a deer, he defines it as a deer and a heart?
Yeah, he defines it
so these are wild animals. These are, and ayol is not kosher for a carbon. A carbon, you only can bring a carbon, you can bring only behemoths, not chayos. So there's the ayil and the ayol. It's my favorite animal, the ayil. And the, you know why, Mark? I'm telling you a secret. Don't tell this to anyone. Okay, you can keep a secret.
It's good, yeah.
May is not listening to me, right? May keep it secret. I'll tell you why this is my favorite animal. Because this is the Rosh Tevis of my name. My name is Ephraim Yaakov Levine, Aleph Yud Lamet.
Very nice. That's very nice.
It's not going to... I used to sign all my things, Aleph Yud Lamet, just my initials, right? I don't want people to know who I am, but it's Aleph Yud Lamet.
It's a very popular Israeli name.
What?
Ayal?
It's a girl...
Ayal? No, for girl it's Ayala.
Ayala. So Ayol, Ayal, I guess, it's a heart. It's not
my,
a...
My granddaughter is Ayala.
Like you go to Yamamela, and you walk in this, between the rocks, they jump over your head. They have a...
These animals. Okay. So let's see over now. This person over here is saying over here is telling us that if you, this is a very important pasuk. This pasuk is the pasuk that tells us that you're allowed to have basar. When was the last time you had meat? When was the last time you ate meat? Whenever it was, this pasuk that we just read right now is the pasuk that gives us permission to eat basar, and also
really?
Yeah, and also wow. Tells us from the word vizavachta. It's a very powerful word. Tizbach v'yachalta. Well, I'm not really sure. Pull out the tizbach v'yachalta. Read it. It's one of the words which tells us that you need to do on an animal shchita. Why do you need to do shchita? Maybe the only time you need to do shchita is on a korban. Who says you need to do an act of shchita on a behemoth that you're going to eat as chulin? Chulin. Maybe you only need to do shchita on karbanos. So this pasuk over here is referring to Besar, it's called Besar Taiva. Over here the pasuk says, the last pasuk that we learned yesterday is, you shall guard yourself, the only place where you can bring korbanos is in the Beis HaMikdash. But if outside the Beis HaMikdash, Hishomocha pentala ulasecha, b'chol mach masher tireh. Don't you need, go back to pasuk Gimel, don't even have a hava mina to think that you can bring a korban oil in your backyard. The only place where Pasuk Yudalid gives you permission to bring a carbon is only in the Beis HaMikdash. The place, Asher Yifcha Hashem Lekecha, Bechad Shvatecha, we spent time there yesterday referring to Shem Binyamin, Shom Dir Tala Olasecha, Vesham Tasa Kol Asher Nochim Betzaveka. But what about, but let's say I'm hungry, and I want to have Basar, and I'm living far away from the Beis HaMikdash, or we're living in times like today, when there is no Beis HaMikdash, so I can't bring a carbon shlomim. There's a shahalamina, because when Bisman Shabes HaMikdash HaYakayim, if you want basar, so the solution is, you go to the Beis HaMikdash, and you bring a carbon shlomim. A carbon shlomim, the chelev, and the dam goes on the Mizbeach, the certain fats, the kidneys, and certain fats are brought in the Mizbeach, and everything else you eat. It goes, you give the coin a gift, you give the coin, gets the chazah v'shoik, the chazah v'shoik, and everything else you eat yourself. So if you want to eat basar, the solution is, you go to the Beis HaMikdash, you bring a carbon, you do zrika on the dam, the chalev is burnt, the kohen gets the chazah, the shayk, and you, the owner, gets the meat, and you can eat it anywhere you want in Yerushalayim. Okay, it has to be within Yerushalayim. That's what you had to do. Now the pasuk here is coming to address, but that's not going to be a solution to everyone, because when you come into Eretz Yisrael and you conquer the land, it's a big place, and there's going to be gridlock alert to go try to go to dinner every night in Yerushalayim. There are not enough cafes to prepare your Basar Kachin in Yerushalayim. It's just not going to work. So Hashem's, okay, fine. If you don't want to go bring Basar Kodashim, I have a solution for you. You can bring Basar Chulin. You can eat meat wherever you want, even in Flatbush. Even there you can have Basar. But make sure Tizbach. Now the word Tizbach is a holy word. It doesn't say in the Pasuk, it doesn't say the word, just kill the animal. The word Tizbach teaches you that every time you eat in Flatbush a piece of meat, it has gone through a process that is identical to what would have been done to a korban. That's a very powerful concept. It's an extremely powerful concept to say that every time you eat basar, you're really eating something which has partially been processed identical to how a korban is processed. Because what it appears is, it would appear, something, this is clear, if you learn Masechta, you learn Masechta Chulin, you learn the drush of the Masechta, it comes very clear is that is that Me'ikar Hadin, it should not really be required to slaughter an animal of chulin with all of the stringencies that we are familiar with. Okay, with the Shulon, Gansa Mais, the whole Masechta Chulin. Either Hashem will prohibit eating basar outside the framework of kachin, or if Hashem will allow us to eat kachin, it can be done by just killing the animal any way you want. Purdue, you can go and you can buy Hebrew National, Purdue, you name it. Any type of way that the goyim find it fit for them to take the life of the animal. Today, what I understand is they kill the animals through electrocution. They put it to its brain some type of very high voltage and it kills the animal. And they claim that's more humane than Shechita, which is baloney, total baloney. They can prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt that the way they kill animals is much, much more horrible, much more traumatic and painful for the animal than what they do in the slaughterhouse. And whatever, that's the goyim. You know, you can't fight with these people. That's the way that you see what goes on today in government. You can't use logic, common sense, dealing with people who don't like you. Someone doesn't like you, there's no one to talk to. So the Torah here says, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to eat Basar Chulin just the way the goyim eat Basar Chulin. I want you, when you eat your Basar Chulin, you should eat it. It's a partial korban. You're not going to go do the Zrikas Adam. Okay? You're not going to bring Chelev on the Mizbeach. You're not going to be able to give the Kohen the Chazah the Shoik. But at least the way you take the life of the animal should be through what we call ritual slaughter. Ritual slaughter is basically the way you slaughter a korban. There's no difference. It's how you take the life of a korban. And that's what this pasuk says. Rak, if you really want to eat, gazuntahit, take your animal, take your cow, or whatever they call it today. Today it's not called a cow, it's called some other name because there's nothing real anymore today. Today everything is genetically engineered. Even we people are not real anymore, we're also genetically engineered people. You take your cow, whatever you call it, and you slaughter it. Rak, b'chol avas nafshecha tizbach. You still must do an act of ritual slaughter. And then the achalta vasar, according to your blessing, costs a lot of money. Meat is not cheap. You need to be blessed. Ki virkas Hashem Elokecha asher nosan lecha bechol shorecha, wherever you want, any one of your gates, even Flatbush. Today, the mayor said there's something called the key to New York City. If you get the vaccine, you get this virtual key to New York City, so you can go to all the gyms and you can go to the restaurants. You can eat it whether you're tummy, whether you're tummy. There's not going to be any requirement of being in the state of Tahara. There's no requirement. and you're going to eat it the same way. Katsri v'chayoy. Why do we give these two examples? These two animals are chayois. A chaya is never offered as a korban. A chaya, yeah.
Rabbi Slitzkin says the ayol is the male deer.
The ayol is a male deer. Tzvi is a deer. Is it? Is a deer? It's a female deer.
Yes, but it's really a gazelle.
Well, I'm confused. A tzvi is a female by definition.
He calls it. It's a deer.
Yeah.
The deer, everyone calls it a deer.
Okay.
But really, the tzvi of the Torah,
yeah,
he says is a gazelle. And just over the years, there was a mistake.
Right, that's good. So what is a gazelle? What is a gazelle? Is it male or female?
The tzvi is one of the most commonly misidentified creatures in the Torah. And it's long identified it as a deer. However, nearly 1,000 years ago, Rashi pointed out that the deer does not match the Talmud's description of the tzvi.
Okay.
And he goes further. The Talmud suggests what a differentiating characteristic is that only the horns of wild animals are branched. An objection is raised to this in the tzvi. Okay. But he's saying over here, when the Torah has a tzvi and ayal together, it's a male deer and a deer.
It's a female. I mean, it was a female and a male. What do you mean, male?
In this case, that's what I would understand.
Okay, all right. This, every single animal in the Torah is a suspect to what it really is. You're right.
Right.
A tzvi, like also a nesher. A nesher. Yeah. Let me see that. Let me see. I don't have that book. I have an older book. Let me see. Lower a little bit down. Let me see. I have to see the picture better. Yeah. So you have, that's a great, you read the whole thing already? I would love, it's a great book.
No, I went through, I forgot already.
It came out. I remember it's supposed to be a fantastic book, great reviews. Okay, so he says that tzvi is a gazelle. All right, by me, a gazelle.
We're using it here as a deer, and ayol is also a deer, but the male counterpart.
The male, so that means the tzvi is a female by definition? It's a female animal? Yeah.
That's what I would say.
That's what it seems. It's a female animal.
There were no tzvis in the Midbar. There were only gazelles there.
There were only males? But he's saying it's a female. Whenever there's a female, there's a male.
And the male is ayol.
Okay. I accept. Avraham Avinu, he slaughtered. That was a ram. And Ayil is a ram with a chirik under the U. That's a ram. Ayil. This is an Ayol. The Ayol is a deer. A male gazelle. Whatever male gazelle is. And the tzvi is the female. It's fine. So the saying over here is that when a person wants to eat, when you want to eat basar, you want to eat the basar of a behema, you eat the basar of the behema the same way you eat the basar of a chaya. A chaya. What is a chaya? You never ever bring as a korban in the mizbeach in the Beis Hamikdash, because the Torah only commands us to offer on the mizbeach behemas. We have the category of the parim, of a para, which begins with an egel. You can bring an egel, and when it becomes an adult, it turns into a para, or a shar. A male is a shar, a female is a para. It starts out as being an egel or an egla. And then there are korbanos from the sheep family, which starts out as being a keves, when it's a baby, and when it's an adult, it turns into a seh. Okay, a keves is a baby sheep, a seh is an adult sheep. So it's a kivs, a female, it would be a kivsa, and it would be also called a seh. When it comes to the word seh, we don't differentiate in gender. Gender neutral when it comes to a seh. And when it comes to goats, it's called a gidi. And when they mature, they're called an ayil or an ayola. A se'ira. A so'ir and a se'ira. That is a goat. So basically, there are three categories of korbanos. They have this in the back of the Art Scroll Chumash. They have fantastic outline of this, of the animals. That's so elementary that we should know this, that when you bring korbanos, you are only going to be bringing korbanos from one of the three animal families. Either the category called the parim, the category called the se'irim, or the category called the seh, a seh. And each one of these categories, you have really three parts. You have the babies under a year old, then you have an intermediary state, and then you have the adult. The adult, so the adult, the terms are usually referred to by the adult name, which is a shor or a par or a para. A par and a para, the gender neutral term is a shor. Okay? There's also something as a shora. There's an axe, there's a shor. What is a shor? A shor is a catch-all term for this variety, the species, which in its adulthood, a male is called a par, a female is a para. When they are babies, it's called an egel or an egla. Then you have the category called a so'ir. Now that, the so'ir can be a male, so'ir, and a si'ira. When they're infants, when they're babies, it's called a gedi. It's called a gedi, or an aes is a goat. And a female would be, what's a female? An Iza? Is that what it says? An Iza? Okay, and then when you're dealing with the sheep family, it's going to be a keves or a kivsa. And when they become adults, they're called a seh. Okay, so these are the basic, okay, and some of these terms are interchangeable because sometimes the Torah discusses the species, and sometimes it discusses the specific age group. And you look in the back of the article Chumash, the new one, the Stone Edition, the Hebrew only version of the Stone Edition, they have there in the back this absolutely magnificent, the whole Sefer, you know, it's a bargain. It costs like $35. You're getting the amount of $500 worth of things in that edition. The Stone, the article Hebrew only, I don't know what they call it. They call it the Stone Edition. It is just awesome, that volume. Everything has nekudos, and I don't know if it's an exact translation of the Stone Edition. It's not likely. I think they revised it, they changed the commentary a bit, but that is where they have in the back there all of these color pictures, which have all of the different animals. Okay, now in any event, it says in Yerushalmi the pasuk, you're going to eat, you're able to eat the behema the same way you eat a chay. Let's see Rashi, pasuk tezayin. Rashi over here, pasuk tezayin, a lot of important Rashi's. Rach, kolavus nafshal, b'makos medaber. So over here, what's the pasuk we discuss according to Rashi? Rashi pasuk tezayin, b'makos medaber, in b'basar taiva, le'ativ elohem b'loy b'lakavus, imurim harayu omar, b'makam acher. So I told you, maybe the wrong shall, let's see. I've been dealing over here with regular chulin. We know that already. We know that kiyarchev Hashem alkech es gevulcha v'yamar to oichel v'asar. There's another pasuk. Where is that pasuk? I don't know where that pasuk is. But there's another pasuk that explicitly says besar chulin. So what's talking? So therefore, what's talking about? Bamezem medaber. So I made a mistake. I told you the wrong shot on the pasuk. This pasuk is bamezem medaber kadoshim shenachlo b'hem mum sheyipadu. Okay, so it's saying over here, this pasuk is discussing a unique case. An animal that was once upon a time slated to be offered on the Mizbeach, and then it developed a blemish. Before you had the chance to put the animal on the Mizbeach and do a shechit, it developed a blemish. So no longer can this animal be put on the Mizbeach. So what do you do with it? What are you going to do with the animal? You can't eat it for yourself because it's sacred, and you can't put it on the mizbeach. So the solution is you redeem it, you evaluate its value, and you give its money. The money you give money, and the money becomes a replacement for this animal. And with that money, you purchase another animal which you bring on the mizbeach. This animal now you can eat as chulin, not totally. What do you mean not totally? It's not totally chulin to the degree where you're not allowed to work with it. The only thing you can do with this animal is to slaughter it. Now, if you what about the meat? can you sell the meat in the market on an avenue, you know, on in the market and take its meat and weight on a scale public? No, that's a disgrace. Since this animal, being that this animal once upon a time was sacred, has Kedusha Saguf, even though now you redeemed it and you've de-sanctified it, it's a disgrace that an animal that was once Kodesh should now be out in the field working, pulling the plow. It's a disgrace that its meat should be sold in the market like salami. They shouldn't hang it up on top of the door when you come into the butcher shop and have it just dangling down in front of the customers. It's a disgrace. So the only thing you can do with an animal that was once designated to be a carbon, which develops a blemish, is to redeem it and to slaughter it at home and eat it privately for your Thanksgiving dinner. That's all you can do with it. You can't go and disgrace it in any way. That's what this pasuk says. That's the mezzeh medaber b'kadoshim shnevuch hamum sheyipadu yudim v'yachlu b'chol mak, wherever you want. Yachal yitzal b'al mum. Let's say the blemish is not a permanent blemish; it's a temporary blemish. Right now, it injured itself. So at the moment, you're not allowed to bring it on the mizbeach. But in 2 weeks from now, it will heal, and then it'll be ready to go on the mizbeach. You have to wait 2 weeks and bring it as a carbon. You're not allowed to redeem it at this moment when it only has a temporary blemish. How do you know that? Rak. It says in the pasuk the word rak. Rak is a limitation. A limitation means it's not so fast. You can't do whatever you want. It says that tizbach v'yachalta, you will slaughter and you'll eat. Ein l'cha bochem heter giza v'chelev. Another halacha. You're not allowed to share its wool. You're not allowed to milk it and use its milk for J&J. You're not allowed to do that. Ela achila al yidei zavicha. The only thing you can do is to slaughter the animal. You eat the animal. Ha'tameh v'hatar. Lefi shebo mikoyach kadoshim shenemer b'chem v'abosu asher yiga b'chol tameh lo yoichal. Being that you may make a mistake and think that since this was once upon a time Kodesh, and when something is Kodesh, it only can be eaten in the state of Tahara. So you may be misled to believe that when you redeem it, and now it is Chulin, you are permitted to eat. You are not permitted to eat it in case it becomes Tamei, after you slaughter it. Along comes the pasuk and says, no, Chutshach lachatil bo shetamei v'tar oichlim b'kar achas. Even the person who is Tamei is allowed to touch the meat, which will contaminate the meat, and you can eat it. The laws of Tumah V'Tahara do not apply to this animal anymore once it has been redeemed, even though we are requiring of you other stringencies. We're not allowing you to share its wool. We're not allowing you to take it to milk it for its own, to sell the milk. We're not allowing you to weigh the meat in the market, and we're not allowing you to work with the animal, even though you are limited in treating the animal with sanctity because the animal once upon a time was Kodesh. But with regard to Tumah V'Tahara, there are no restrictions whatsoever. Katzvi v'chayol, just like you were tita tzila yol, she'ein karbon b'mehem. The reason why we give these two animals as an example of what you can do is we give because these animals are chayois, and a chaya never ever is offered as a karbon on the mizbeach, only behemos, and even behemos, only the three minim, the goat family, the ox family, and the sheep family. Katzi v'chayol, l'poitod min ha-zeroya v'ha-lechayam v'akeva. He's saying a bigger chiddush. Is ordinarily, what is the halach? When you eat basar chulin, regular chulin, you're supposed to give to the kohanim from chulin, you're supposed to give them the keva is a stomach. The l'chayayim l'halach means the jaw, and it includes the cheek, the tongue. And the zra means the right leg. Now today, does Empire, or all of these big companies who slaughter animals, do they give the kohanim the zeroya, the front leg of the animal, and the lechayayim, the tongue? How much does it cost the tongue today in the supermarket? I don't know. It costs probably $60, $70. Okay, you buy a whole tongue in Glatmart. In Moishas, in pomegranate, cost a lot of money. Cost probably $60, $70. I don't remember exactly, but it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So
you mean
six oh seven zero six zero, is that correct?
Probably.
Something like that. So
lamb chop $30 a pound already.
If you buy the entire tongue, it costs something like that. Something somewhere between $50 and $80, at least.
Not much.
So the halacha is, you're not supposed to sell that. That is supposed to be given as a gift to the Kohen for free. So why don't we do that today? Because they'll go out of business in 5 minutes. So what do they do? So they have all these excuses. They say, Kohanim, prove you're a Kohen. You're a Miyuchas. Show me your Yichus brief, dating you back to Aaron HaKohen. If you can't do that, you're not getting the Zroya. Oh, how come you give us an Aliyah? You give me. I'm the Kohen in Shul every Shabbos. I'm the Kohen. That doesn't cost money. That's free. Adrabah, you have to pay to get that Aliyah. But for me to give you money, no way.
I gotta go.
Okay, Zayin, I'll take care. Mayor, you still here?
There are four people on. You have
me. Mayor, I'm number one. I'm Ron, the mayor, and Norman Forst. So how do you deal? So what is the mean over here? What is the mean over here? The Zerai Vachavya Keirah. So he's supposed to be teaching over here Chiddush that the Tzvi and the Ayol, you do not give the Zeraya and the Lechayim Yakeva from the Tzvi and the Ayol. The din of giving the Zeraya, the Lechayim Yakeva, only applies to behemoths, not to chayois. So you don't give these things to the Kohen. And it's telling you now that if you have an animal, it's telling you tremendous chiddush, that an animal that was slated to go on the Mizbeach and it developed a blemish and you redeem it, when you eat it personally in your home, you do not have to give the Kohen the matnois kahuna that you ordinarily have to give him on a regular animal of chulin. It's a very shocking thing. Why not? Why not? Why should it be different? Why it should be any less? But that's the gzeres hakos. Let's review over here. I want to review Rashi one more time. We say live, very good. You saw this. It's elevated the passage of the word rak. Rak kol avas navshcha. But what is the passage talking about? In besar taiva. If we're dealing with besar taiva, lahatiu lachem b'lekav asim murim. Harehu amu b'mokim achem. We know that already. So what's the pasuk discussing? The process of elimination. Second halacha. So rak is teaching us a mum oiver. You do not need to mum oiver. You may not redeem. What does it mean? Tizvach v'yachalta. The only thing you can do with the animal is to slaughter it and eat it. You're not allowed to work with it. You're not allowed to shear its wool. You're not allowed to take its milk. Ein l'chabchem ella heter giza v'cholof. Ella chila al yidei zericha. And you must shecht it. Ha'atai v'ha'atai, what do we need that pasuk? Because you may think that this animal has some minor degree of sanctity. You may think that if you become tamei, you may no longer eat it. Or if the animal becomes tamei, you may no longer eat it. L'fi shabo mikach kadashim, sh'nem b'chem v'yabas ha'sha yigal b'chol tamei lo yoyechal. K'ma'achut shech l'ha'at e'boi sh'tamei v'toi lo yechol mikarachas. You're allowed to. Just like the Tziv Ayol, which there's no such thing as Kodashim by these animals, and therefore these animals can be eaten instead of Tumma, so too, the Basa, the Karban that has been redeemed can be instead of Tumma. And then the other Drasha, the Tziv Ayol, the Poitum, and Azrei, the Halachayam, Yakeva, they're exempt from these three things. All right, now let's see the Targum. Targum on this Pasuk over here says, Pasuk Tesvav. Pasuk says, L'choid. L'chod means only, b'chol ru'us navshach, the desire of your soul, tikois. The word tikois means to slaughter. Okay, that's a very important word. Tizbach means tikois. V'seichol is to eat. Bisra meat, ki b'rchasod Hashem l'kach dihav l'ch. Hashem has given you b'chol kirvach in all of your cities. Notice that he does exactly the same thing over here. The time over here is doing what we did yesterday, that he's translating the word she'orecha as the word kirvach. Misoava tome. The word misoava means tome, contaminated. The dochya, pure. Yechline. You can eat this when you are tome or tar, just like you're allowed to eat tome or tar meat of a chaya. Kivsar, that means meat. Samach and the shin is the same, or sin is the same. Tavia. like the meat of a tavia. What's a tavia? Tavia is a tavia with a tzvi and the ayla, the other animal, whatever these animals are, the ayol. Now let's take a look over here at the bottom and see some perish on this pasuk. We have here ru'us. This is besar ru'usman's will, l'shon rotzayn. V'neschalfa ois tzadi b'loshon ha'kodesh lo'ois ayin. Okay, this is an important principle. This kedai to come tonight just to etch this into your head. In Aramaic, there are letters, there's a pattern of interchanging letters. The beis and the pei. Those letters are interchangeable. And here is one another classic change of letter is the ayin and the letter tzadi. If you would have the word rot, the word is rotzoin. Rotzoin. Now here there's a soft, so it's not going to help us. But reish tzadi is the shoyresh of the word will. So we have in Aramaic, the tzadi becomes an ayin. So it's ru'us, kei ru'us. What makes a person into a tzaddik? This is a drush. What makes you into a tzaddik is shmiras einayim. Yosef HaTzaddik. Why was Yosef HaTzaddik called a tzaddik? There are many perushim. He did not look at what was not meant for him to look at. Eshes Potifar. So he was called a tzaddik. And the drush is in the translation of Lashon Kodesh into... It translates into Aramaic is the tzadi, which represents the tzaddik. He translates into an ayin, into an eye. The what he looks at is in the eye is the shurish of the tzadi, of the tzaddik. Now it says lo tigim loshen regag kamosh tigim loyse saveh ve'od yesh harbi milim b'mikrim shunkulis mefarish b'shurish ra'ah. What's this going on over here? Ru'us, he said the desire. He did not say the word regag, and did not say the word mefarish b'shavish resh ayin hey. That's the word over here. That is desire. Okay, so we think over here is I don't know what he's conscious over here. Rashi over here is Rashi. Did Rashi over here illuminate this point of what it means? B'chol avas nafshecha. Rashi doesn't really say wherever you want. Does that explain over here? Is Rashi have the comment on the word ru'us? I don't know. Let's go further. Kisvar tavya, the meat of a tzvi. Chayisavila kifsar. He says, so over here he's putting a very, very good point over here. The targum here has surreptitiously added a word into the pasuk. It says you'll eat it katsavi. What do you mean katsavi? It should say kibisart. Where did the targum get the authority to add over here the word kifsar? This is the meat. So he's saying a brilliant idea. Don't get any ideas now. Don't think that just like a tzvi and an ayol, what is the halacha? There is no chelev. Chelev of a tzvi and ayol is permitted. So maybe an animal that was meant to go on the mizbeach and now got its blemish and you redeem it. So maybe now this animal, you're allowed to eat its chelev. Because the pasuk says you can eat the katsvi v'chayol. And just like all the other restrictions have been lifted, like Rashi Taka points out that there's no din of zeroya l'chayayim v'akeva, and there's no law of tumah v'tahara. So now, once the Torah takes away all of these things, maybe the Torah took away the prohibition of eating chelev on this behemah. That is why the Targum, he added the word in the pasuk, like the basar of the tzvi. Okay, that's a very nice thing. You know, this is a kedai to come tonight to learn this. Tavya, kamar hamila tzvi, b'lashon hakosov, mischalf is tzadi lo'istes. Another transition. Another letter we change in Aramaic. that Tzavya, had it been a Tzadi, it would make sense. There's a test. The Tzadi in Aramaic sometimes is converted into a test. So an Ayin, a Tzadi turns into an Ayin, and sometimes Ayin turns into a test. Okay? The word by Yorots, he ran, the Na ran, Vayorat. All right, very good. All right, we learned at least the Pasuk tonight. What's so bad? We learned the Pasuk in Chumash. Pasuk Tezvav, Pshat, the Pasuk, good Pshat, Rashi. We learned over here about animals. We learned the Targum, he ends in the word Kibbasar Tzvi. And we learned over here the word Avas is Ru'us, the Tzadi, we change the Tzadi into an Ayin, which is the Tzadi into a test at the end of the Pasuk. The word Sharecha, he translates as a city. And what else we learn over here? Tizvach v'chalta. We learn anything else over here in the Targum? No, that's from the Targum and the Pasuk. We went to the Pasuk. Okay, we're going to stop here. And Meir, thank you for coming. Norman, thank you for coming. G'day si yashakarech.
Okay, see you tomorrow, Mr. Shem.
Zay gesund. Be well.